This trail for me is in Preston, where in a couple of hours I'm catching my train home. And it's here I've arranged to meet two people with some interesting thoughts on this experiment in promoting local production. Agricultural scientist Charlie Clutterbuck, who runs a website on sustainable food, and Melissa Watts, regeneration officer for the Ribble Valley Borough Council, who've put money into creating this trail. Melissa, why has the council done that?
We want to highlight and excite people about the food that's on offer in the Ribble Valley and about the people that produce this food and they're producing it on site and it's good quality at a reasonable price.
So basically you're in the business of creating jobs, bringing money into this area.
We are, yes. After the 2001 foot and mouth outbreak, our businesses in rural Ribble Valley were hit quite hard. And diversification was a key for them at this time. And they rallied round and they've come out of it the better in a lot of cases. And we now have a network of really good local businesses producing local good quality food.
How much money are we talking about?
The trail in total has cost £15,000, which...
£15,000, that's all?
Yes, which includes a website, which will be fully functional by the end of March, and a fantastic leaflet with a map.
Now, Charlie, you've lived here a long time. What do you make of this trail? I mean, you've not been involved in any way with its creation.
I see it as part of an exciting initiative which is fitting in with other developments towards a more sustainable farming and food system. Things are changing rapidly at the moment. Food prices are going up and are likely to stay up. Yet clearly people are willing to pay more for the food if there's a story with it. They want to find out who's made it, why is it made, how's it come to be there. Which I think is going to be good for the future because we are going to need more skills coming in to try and become more sustainable. I can't help but think if we're going to reduce pesticides, we're going to have to reduce nitrogen fertilisers, we're going to have to grow more vegetables, more fruit in areas like this. All of that is going to require more skills. And what we've got here is a sort of microcosm of the sorts of developments which need to be built up.
So you think that the lack of skills, the lack of farming skills, the lack of growing skills, are going to be a brake on what this trail is trying to do?
I would like to see it the other way around, that they start identifying those skills which we are going to need to develop and that the colleges start looking at the new skills which will be needed. That this will involve government research and development. My bigger worry is that the government overall hasn't got a vision for what the skills are and the research and development needed for this new sort of farming and food production. So this project here could identify those sorts of skills which they respond to.
So in a way, what Melissa's doing is in fact educating from the really local level. I mean, they have identified what the issues are.
Yes.
Central government has not.
Yes, that's exactly so. The central government would say this is how the skills should be identified, but we need to be picking up these sorts of skills much quicker because things are changing much faster than we thought.
We're having a bottom-up approach here. We've had a couple of years after foot-and-mouth recovery looking at promoting local produce, but what we need to do now is look at what we do with that local produce and how we get that into the schools, into the hospitals. And that's extremely important. But what we hope to do with the trail is to link up these suppliers and these producers to give them the idea that they can supply and produce with each other and then get them excited about it and get them promoting themselves so that they approach the schools and they approach the hospitals and they want to get their food into these establishments.
We're changing from an era of cheap food into properly priced food. So it's going to take a long time. We can't change what has gone on for 20 or 30 years overnight.
50 years.
Yes. I remember when local women cooking local food in the canteens was a recruiting element 30 or 40 years ago. That got wiped out as well. So they can come back into this equation. But this is why this is good. It shows that it can be done and that people are willing to pay a bit more, you know, for good proper food.
So you think that food has just got too cheap?
Yes. You know, it's not just the last 10, 20 years. This is 150 years. And it's going to take a lot of changing politically as well to pay more for our food. In fact, we've got to turn it round. That the industry is built on the agriculture in future rather than seeing agriculture as the sort of slave of the system. you know, to provide cheap food.
But of course, in saying that, you're sticking your head above the parapet to be accused of elitism. The poor cannot afford this.
Curiously enough, two things. One is that in all this time of cheap food, there are still people poor. Often it's the farm workers and the food workers that are paid very low wages as a result. It's about time they got properly rewarded and recognised for that. And they're also bringing the skills back in so that people know what to buy. In the 1930s, they could buy food cheaply, but it was good food.
You're nodding your head,
Melissa. Yeah, it's about educating from a young age that... Yes, you may be paying a little bit more for food, but if you buy local produce and take it home and produce it yourself, if you're taught to cook from an early age, if in secondary school you work with local produce, then by the time you get into the stage that you have your own family, you're in your own home and you're cooking for yourself, it can still be a reasonable price, but with good quality food rather than pre-packed frozen food, which is cheap on the packet, but not as good when you actually cook it and eat it. And in the long run, it's not good for your health.
It's about joining up. Economics, really, isn't it, of seeing the whole financial picture, because it's very easy to say food should be cheap, but if, as Melissa says, it has knock-on effects to your health, those are all costs to our economy.
Yes. What we're looking for now is food which is healthier for people and the planet, and luckily, not always, those coincide. Essentially, we should be eating more locally produced vegetables. That would do an awful lot. More locally produced fruit, all of which could be done in the Ribble Valley.
So you're both saying, that the rise in the price of oil, the tremendous rise in the price of raw ingredients, that is going to speed up this change.
Should be bringing money in. This is what I would like to see, that it should be bringing money into these sorts of areas. What I would like to then see is that, if you like, the capital developed on the land, instead of being developed for the transport systems, which is what a lot of it's gone into, let's see those industries building up on the land.
It would be nice as well to see visitors and residents of the area take their ideas back out of the area, so that we don't just have a concentration of food producers in only certain areas of the country, that it spreads, that they, if they are coming from Manchester and Liverpool, they take their ideas back and they promote local food in their area and really champion this good quality food that can still be bought at good prices.
Melissa Watts and Charlie Clutterbuck, thank you both very much. Well, next week we're in